Good morning. 20 minutes until the top of the hour. I have in studio Dr. Glenn Pickering. He is a counselor, an author, a speaker, an engineer, a pastor. It goes on and on. One of my very favorite books he's written is called Playing Tag, The World's Most Common Game. And he says true leadership is not about dictating outcomes. It's about honoring relationships. And in the game of tag, who's on your team? Guess what? Nobody. And that's the pathway to wrong relationships. And true leaders always live in right relationships and are always relational. That's what you say, Glenn.
That must be true, then. I wouldn't say it otherwise, Glenn.
Okay, let's tell our listeners a little bit more about the game of tag. As a matter of fact, I've got three copies of Glenn's book to give away. If you have a question for us this morning, you will be eligible to be in the drawing for one of these books. And give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. Glenn, tell us a little bit more about the game of tag.
Great. Especially when I talk about it like in the work environment. So I came to understand quite some time ago that every form of wrong relationship that we get in at work, family, friends, doesn't matter. What happens is we're playing the game of tag. And if you watch a bunch of little kids play the game of tag, you'll notice there's two roles. They either are playing it passively. So if I'm not it yet, I'm doing all the things I can think of to keep me from being it. So I stay away from the person who's it. I stay away from everybody else. I run real fast if I see you coming. I keep things between me and you, you know, like that. So basically, I try to avoid you. Second strategy is once I do get tagged, then I very quickly change gears and I want to run really fast at who's ever closest to me. I pick on who's ever the slowest. Not a very kind game. I tag them really hard, say, not it, so everybody knows I'm not the one that's it, and I go back to my passive strategies. And what I see in all of our adult relationships, when they get messed up, we're doing one of those two things. We're either passively avoiding bringing things up or talking about certain things or interacting with certain people because we don't want to get criticized or judged, so we avoid each other. Or if we do feel like we're being blamed for something, then we want to lash out or blame somebody else or defend ourselves. And so it's interesting to me, if you read any of the studies on work satisfaction, so study after study has shown us this. If you ask people who are happy at work, who really truly like their jobs, what do they like about their job? They will say either first or second, it's the people. Now, here's what we know. It's not the people. Because you know what? People are people. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. We all have our struggles. I mean, we are, you know, we're people. What they really mean is not it's the people. What they really mean is it's the way that people interact. The reason I like my job is I like the way that people treat the other people who work here. Now, perfect example. I get to KTIS this morning. I'm a little early for the show. I text Bill, but let me in the door, but he's busy and too important for me. So that doesn't matter, though, because somebody else comes along who very politely opens the door for me and holds it because they can see I have things in my hand. And anytime I ask Rebecca, the behind-the-scenes person here, for help, she always makes sure things get organized. Bill's always so gracious to see me. I mean, literally everybody I ever interacted with here is either factual or positive or loving. And I think, right, that's the reason I love being here.
No, that's nicely said. But the vision God gives us is always relational, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes. Now, in fact, everything we're called to do, I promise any of you who are listening, whatever God has put on your heart, it is always about a relationship. So whether you feel like you're called to be a great parent, a good teacher, a better listener, a more caring friend, a leader of the youth group, whatever that is for you, what you'll notice is, oh, everything I'm called to do has to do with a relationship, and being in right relationship.
Yep.
Now, of course, then the flip side of that is this. If you ask people who don't like their job why they don't like their job, the first or second thing they're going to say is something like this. It's so political. It's so negative. People there are so harsh. I just hear about what I do wrong. It seems like I can never do anything right, like that. In other words, if we're in a job that we like our job, it's because we like the way people interact lovingly, caringly, or at least just factually. And if we're in a job that we don't like, it's because the way we interact with people is either critical or judgmental or feels harsh to us.
So, Glenn, if someone at work is playing tag with you and you have an awareness of the tag game and they don't, and all you do is then suffer under the idea that they're playing tag with me because they're always constantly trying to avoid me or put blame on me, and they never want to take responsibility, and they always make it, and it's never about them. And your head wants to explode.
Yes, and it's painful to be around people like that. So, and I get sometimes, how can I say, Well, there are some people in our lives who play tag so relentlessly and so constantly, it is literally painful to be around them. And, you know, to the extent that we can avoid being around them, then all of us will do that. But, of course, there are some people, and they might be family, or they might be your next-door neighbor, or it might be the person who works at the desk next to you, who's one of those people, and then finding ways to avoid them is not really going to be working.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe you feel like the whole environment you're at is sort of negative. And one of the things I talk with people about all the time is, well, two things. A, I love coming into workplaces and teaching them how to create tag-free, really loving, really effective environments. It's fun. People stay there. Productivity goes up. And so there are a lot of really smart, and I'm sort of being silly a little bit, but really smart business owners who have me come in and teach people how to operate in that way because they know it's good for their company. But if you're not working at one of those places, then one of the things you can do is you can take up the Apostle Paul's advice. He says in Philippians 4:8, basically, whatever is good, whatever is excellent, whatever is wonderful, whatever is worthy of praise, to think about these things. And I call that the 90-10 rule, by which I mean all of us do stuff right about 90% of the time. We mess up about 10%, just kind of a given. And so I can always be looking for what people do wrong, and that's how the game of tag goes, because I don't want to be it. So I watch for what you do wrong, and I point out your mistake, because then you're it and not me.
Mm-hmm.
But the Apostle Paul is trying to point out, yeah, but if we live in right relationships, we look for what people do right, and we tell it to them. And so if I want to sort of change even just my little circle of people around me, I can start looking for everything they do right and notice it and make a point of telling them, hey, thank you for helping me with that. Hey, that was really great. Hey, that went really well. Hey, I thought you handled that situation just perfectly. Anything you can see that they're doing right, you can focus on that, tell them about that, and try to create a little circle of grace around you.
Mm.
Even if you feel like I'm living in an environment, I'm not in control of the larger environment because I don't own the company. I'm not the manager of my unit. I'm just this person that works here. I can still be working like crazy on my little circle.
Well, what about if that 10% just bugs me so much, that's all I think about?
Yeah, that would put you in the human species group.
I hate that group. All right, Glenn, let me take a break. When we come back, right. I want to talk about, in the game of tag, you try to keep yourself safe.
Right.
But in community, you need to keep each other safe.
I love that, yeah.
So we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Glenn Pickering. His website is glennpickering.com, P-I-C-K-E-R-I-N-G, and that's Glenn with two N's, glennpickering.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about a marriage seminar he's got coming up also in December 2nd and 3rd. So we'll find out more about that as well. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's 11 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Dr. Glenn Pickering in studio with me. We're talking about the game of tag, where you make the other person it, and that is not a good way to be in right relationship with others. Glenn, a lot of people want to keep themselves safe, but you say in community we have to keep each other safe.
In fact, even thinking I have to keep myself safe makes me unsafe. And I mean in the most powerful sense of that word. If Satan could get us all to believe one thing that would make us so easy to manipulate, he would have us believe that we're alone. Which is why God's one promise to us is, I'm always with you, that you're not alone. The lie is that we are alone. And as soon as I fall into the lie of thinking I have to protect myself, I'm telling myself that I'm alone. And I am literally set up for the worst possible outcome in my life, in that interaction and in my life in general.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, I've got a bunch of calls on the screen.
We so love calls.
Yeah, maybe we can try to get to a couple of them.
Great.
I have Hope calling. Hope's on the line. If we can get her on.
I'm just calling.
I hope.
How would that apply to a church? How can it apply to a church?
A pastor friend of mine once said, Glenn, the only problem with the church is it's so darn human. I think it applies incredibly well to churches. In fact, if we're not careful, we will play tag at church more than we do at a regular work site because we're so afraid sometimes of being wrong or thinking we're going to get criticized or judged for saying or thinking the wrong thing that we start playing tag by not actually telling anybody who we actually are or trying to pretend like everything's okay. And you and I both know we've seen churches like that.
Thank you, Hope, for the question. Yeah, it's people are afraid to put their opinion out there because they don't want it crushed. and they don't want to be told they're wrong. And so safety is a constant concern for people in any organization.
Right. And if I own a company or manage a company or run a company in any way, my job is to create an environment that's as safe as possible. And safe means safe to speak up, safe to say what you're thinking, safe to try your ideas, safe to fail, actually. Because honestly, it's honestly often out of our failure that we learn the most. And so if I work for a really smart company, they make it safe to speak up, to tell the truth, and to fail.
Mm-hmm. I've got another caller. Chris is on the line from Maple Grove. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
You have a question for Dr. Pickering.
How does this relate to your job?
Oop, I'm having trouble hearing you, unfortunately. Can you speak up?
How does this relate to your job?
Oh, thanks. Great question, Chris. Thanks for the call. Glenn, how would it relate to your job?
It relates perfectly to your job, because here's the thing. Let's say I work at a place where somebody gives me an assignment. They say, Glenn, here's what I need you to do. Get this back to me in a week. Now, if I work at a really smart company, I know that it's safe to try things. It's safe to go back to the person who gave me that assignment and ask for questions, make sure I understand. It's safe to talk to the people around me and bounce my ideas off of them. And I'm going to come up with a really great idea within that week, because I'm working as part of that team. If I work at a place that plays tag, see, even if I have questions about your assignment for me, I don't feel like it's okay to ask, because then I look stupid and I'm going to get criticized. I don't want to bounce my ideas off my coworkers because they might think that's really stupid or tell me why that's so dumb. Or, that's been done before, Glenn. I just sit by myself. I don't actually ask questions. I don't come up with very creative ideas. And at the end of that week, I either haven't solved that problem check you gave me, or I've solved it in a very poor, very conventional, same way everybody else does it sort of way. And I will never actually, in that environment, do my best work.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, you say that every form of tag is driven by fear,
right,
and a fear that eliminates all forms of right relationships. Obviously, we're afraid of losing our job or not getting the promotion. We're trying to fast-track everything. We're afraid of not being in good relationships with people at work. So how do we get around that fear?
I think a person who I have a lot of respect for, who's pretty high level in his company, said to me, Glenn, how do I get the people under me to work really hard? Should I work on my relationship with them, or should I just have really high standards for them? And I said, here's why that's actually a crazy question. People who know you care about them, that know that they matter to you, will work like crazy, and they will create very high standards for their own selves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you have to make high standards or force them on people. People who feel cared about will work to a very high level because they feel valued. They feel like they matter to you as a person. So I think if we want to create a place that works well, and I'm a leader, manager, just a team lead on my team, I'm always going to be working on building relationships with people where they can tell that they matter to me as a person.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What about in leadership roles, how much vulnerability should we be sharing?
You know, I think we need as leaders to share just enough to know to show that we get it.
What does that mean?
Well, for example, let me backtrack and tell you just a quick story. I was out with my great aunt for lunch years ago now. And she said, Glenn, I like you so much better now. I was like, okay. She saw that puzzled look on my face.
Uh-huh.
And she said, no. I've always really admired you, always thought highly of you. But you always sort of seemed to me like this stainless steel ball, beautifully polished, beautiful to look at, no seams. I could never find a way in. And she says, now you're way more likely to talk to me about your questions or your struggles. You come to me for advice. You bounce ideas off of me. You let me know about things in your life that are working and things that aren't. She said, it's just so much easier for me to find a way in. And here's what I really get. We literally connect on the level of our struggles. So if somebody who works with me tugs me about a problem they're having, I don't need to go on and on in great detail about a similar problem I have. I need to let them know, though, that I get that and that I have had that similar struggle. Even a simple sentence like, yep, been there, get that one really is hard, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Is really just enough to show I'm with you in this, you're not alone, and then move to how can I help you? So I don't need to bleed all over the place. I just need to let them know I mm-hmm. actually do get what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Glenn, we've got a couple's marriage seminar coming up in December.
Yes,
December
2
and 3.
Yes, thank you.
And that's a Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And where would I go find information
that's
about
a
that?
Darn good question.
Thank you. I asked a lot of darn good questions.
Darn,
I got
so
more
good
of them, too, just
I like
so you
it.
Know.
This is good.
I'm going to keep you in the studio after this hour and for extra innings,
I like
as
it.
Paul likes to say. And we're going to continue this conversation because we're not done.
Yes, so you can go to glennpickering.com and find out all about that seminar. Thank you.
And that is a brand new website, which is spectacular.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. And you can also email him if you have a particular question.
Right.
Glenn, with two N's, at glennpickering.com. And you can pass this this episode on to your friends if you want them to hear what we discussed today, because a lot of the times you need to get people familiar with the game of tag.
Right.
So this would be a good way to do it. All right. We'll take a short break and be back to wrap up the show in just a minute.